Well, hello. I'm being a detective today, and I'm looking for clues to help tell us about the story. Before we get into our story, though, I thought we could be a detective and practice being a detective and looking for clues to just tell us what happened in the story with stuff that I've been doing this summer. Are you ready? I brought a bag. Oh, here's my bag of goodies. I'm going to pull something out, and I want you to say out loud what you think I've been doing this summer with this object. So these are things that I've been doing with my girls. So let me pull something out. Ooh, what do I have? Oh, I have sunglasses. What could I have been doing with sunglasses, my little detectives? Did you say playing outside? That's right. We've been playing outside a lot. So thankful the parks are back open that we can go slide down slides and do monkey bars. But that's what I've been doing with these. Have you been playing on playgrounds? Oh, so much fun. All right, I have something else. What is this? Did you say a book? That's right. I've been able to read a couple of books. Let's just say two books. Two books. Just reading personally and enjoying. That's been fun for me. I brought my tennis shoes. What could I have been doing with my tennis shoes? Did you say maybe exercising, running? That's right. I don't run, I slowly jog. But me and Nova have been running around the neighborhood and having a lot of fun. Good job, detectives. Ooh, what is this? What do you think this is? Did you say towel? Did you think, what can you do with a towel? Where have I gone that I need to take my towel? Did you say a pool? That's right. Our neighborhood pool opened up, and so we've been swimming a lot. That has been a lot of fun. Do some of you think the beach? If you said beach too, you're correct as well. I've been to the beach a couple of times and had a good time with that. Ooh, let me grab something else. One of the other things I've done has to do with this. Do you know what this is? It's not a surfboard. It's a boogie board, or a body board as they call it. We got to go to the other side of Florida and go to Cocoa Beach, and they have some pretty big waves, and we got to go boogie boarding. That is one of my favorite things to do. Nova got to try it, and my new little one got to try it as well. We had a great time with that. Has any of you got to boogie board before? And then one more thing in here. This one, what do you think I got to do? Well, this one is something I hoped that would happen. Sadly, it did not happen. So this is part of my plans that did not happen. Nova and I were supposed to go celebrate her adoption of 1 year of being adopted into the Peterson family and go to a Disney water park, but sadly, that got canceled. But that's okay. So these are things, detectives out there, that have to do with what I was doing this summer. Little clues to tell you what was going on in my life. Let me put my bag back over here. All right, so let's be detectives again. Now, maybe you have a pair of binoculars at home, or maybe you can just pretend you have binoculars like this. So whenever you hear me say, "Let's be detectives," I want your binoculars out so you can focus on what is going on. All right. So we're going to be using that in just a second. But let's go back and review. What have you been learning about for the past 4 weeks? Did you say the names of God or who God is? That would be correct. We've been doing a series called the I Am series. They started back with the words that Jesus gave to, or God gave to Moses in the burning bush. Moses said, "Lord, you want me to go back into Egypt and lead all the people out? Who should I tell them to send me?" And God said, "I am." And it's very important that it's always capitalized in the Bible. In the Hebrew, they would capitalize, "I am." So one of the first lessons we started on this is, "I am the good shepherd." That was a great one, wasn't it? Can you remember our different things, this story, this parable told us about God's character, who he is? "I am the light of the world." Think about it. What did this story tell us about who God is? "I am the bread of life." And today's, "I am the resurrection and the life," will be what we're going to learn about God today. Now, I'm going to show you a Bible verse that has to do with all of this. John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Oh, look at there. Do you see that I am is capitalized again? Now, when you read your Bible at home or you're following along at church or children's church, start looking for when God has that capitalized as I am, he's talking about himself. And what are the three things in this verse that tell us about him? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That has all to go in today with our story and what we're learning about God. Now, I'm going to get ready, little detectives. Are you ready? Detectives, I'm going to give you a picture, and I'm going to put it up there for 10 seconds. I am not going to say anything. And you, by power of observation, by power of looking, need to figure out what's going on in this picture and what could our story be about. For my older students, you might be like, oh, that's the story that they're going to tell. Are you ready? So get your detective eyes up there. Here comes the picture for 10 seconds. Don't talk in your house. Don't share your little clues with anybody. Let's see who gets it right. All right, what did your detective skills have to show you about that picture? What did you come up with? Now, share it with somebody in your house if you can. If mom's in the other room, yell it at her what you saw. You know what I saw? I saw two ladies. They did not look happy, did they? And then I saw somebody laying down. That person either looked like they were sick or maybe they looked very sad. Oh boy, what is our lesson about today? Today's lesson is really special because God in this story, Jesus in this story, shows us how he is so different from us. He shows us that I am the Son of God. He wasn't pretending to be the Son of God. There has been people throughout history who have come and they said, I am the Messiah, I am God's Son. But guess what? They were lying. They weren't telling the truth. They were a little confused in their head. But this story today, to me, proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God by what he's able to do in this story with that picture. So my detectives, did you figure out what this story might be about? Let's see if you're right. Let's look at the verse right now, Romans 5:12. Today we're going to talk about something it's serious. It's something that we might describe as heavy. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for all have sinned. Oh my. Adam, the first man and Eve, the first Adam and Eve in the Bible, the very beginning story, they were perfect. They didn't sin. God made their bodies perfect. There was no death. Nothing had died. But God let them have a choice. He said, you can choose what you would like to do in the garden. God didn't want us to be a robot. He didn't want us to be a Siri, like your phone, where you can tell Siri what to do or ask Siri what to do, and Siri's going to do it. Unless he doesn't understand you. But that's not how God wanted us to be. God wanted us to have what's called a free will, that we could pick what we would like to do so he could have a relationship with us. So when Adam and Eve, back in Old Testament at the very beginning, remember what God told them? He said, you can eat of anything in the garden, this beautiful garden. You see that one tree? It was just one tree. Can you believe that? Just one thing. Don't eat of the tree of good and knowledge and evil. And what did they do? They chose to eat of the tree of good and knowledge of good and evil, and sin entered into the world. They disobeyed God's law, and sin entered. And that's what that verse is saying in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam and sin, entered in the world, and death came by sin. So when Adam sinned, death came to our physical bodies. Our physical bodies could now get sick. Our physical bodies could have headaches. We could scratch our knees, and death would eventually come. And so death passed upon all men. And also there's what's called a spiritual death, where our spirit is separated from God forever. But God did not want that to happen. And that's where our story comes in today. So let's go back to this picture I had showed you before. And let's see if your powers of observation and if you guessed what story it was. So here's that picture we came up before. It pops up. Oh, there it is. There it is right there. So in this picture, somebody is sick. Do you know who's sick? Starts with the letter L. It's a pretty big name. Did you say Lazarus? That's right. And who were the two ladies bending over Lazarus who are crying and very sad? Mary and Martha. That's right. So this is the story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And I think Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are so interesting and cool because Jesus loved them. The Bible says that Jesus enjoyed spending time over at their house. As a kid, do you have a favorite house, a favorite friend, a grandma, or some house that you love to go over? When the first thing in the morning, you're like, can we go over to this person's house? Please, 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 please. It's so much fun. Or you maybe have a countdown to when you can go to that person's house. Do you have somebody's house like that? Well, I believe Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home was that way for Jesus. They loved spending time together and were very close to him. But this part of the story is very sad. Lazarus has become very, very ill, and it's evident that he will probably pass away. He will die. Oh my goodness. You can see from Mary and Martha's face, they don't know what to do. They're so concerned. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they thought to themselves, we know somebody who can take care of this. We know somebody who can help this, can heal this. Jesus can. We got to find Jesus. Where is Jesus at? So they got a servant and they told the servant, please go find Jesus. Tell him to come quickly that Lazarus is very sick and we need him to come. So off went that servant to go find Jesus. Now Jesus was a little bit farther away with his disciples. He was traveling and talking to people, and he was in the country of Judea. In that place, I don't know if it was called a country, sorry, but he was in Judea and he was talking, and it's pretty far distance from where they were at. And the servant came up to Jesus and said, the one you love is sick. You need, please, can you do something about it? When he says the one you loved, your really good friend, they're sick. Can you do something about it? Oh, and yes, Jesus could. Look at this Bible verse. Oh, I love this one. Jeremiah 31:3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Jesus' love never stops. It doesn't stop when we get sick. It doesn't stop when we do wrong. It doesn't stop when we do good. It is everlasting love. And he said, yes, I will come. But let's look at where Jesus was so we can kind of understand where this story happened. Because this is a true story. We have a map of where Jesus was. So let's look at the map. You see the purple area, purple arrow is pointed to, we have Judea and Bethany. So Bethany is where Lazarus and Mary and Martha was in Judea. So you can see it's pretty far distance between the two and that Jesus needs to travel. Now you would think that Jesus would be like, okay, come on, disciples, we need to go. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus chose to stay 2 more days in Judea and continue teaching and continue telling them about what was going on and who he was. He didn't rush off right then. Why did Jesus not rush off? Lazarus was very, very, very sick. It looked like he was going to die. He needed to get over there. Why did he not do that? That's a question. Why did he not do that? Sometimes in story, in our lives with Jesus, and in my own personal life, there's been times where I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? That doesn't make sense. That's not right. That doesn't seem good. How can good come out of this? These are questions. Did you know it's not wrong to ask those questions to Jesus? You can tell him that, Lord, what is going on? What's happening? I don't understand. But what comes from that is how we respond to that. Have you ever rolled your eyes at a teacher or your grandma or your mom? You didn't like what their answer was. Hey, 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 can we go to the pool? No, cannot go to the pool right now. You need to clean your room. Oh, my response was not correct. I used to get in trouble for that a lot. I was a big eye roller. But my response to what my mom had said was not correct. So I encourage you, when we have questions, when it's like, oh, Lord, what is going on? I don't understand. This is very sad. This is hurting. We can have this response. In Psalms 146:5, it says, happy is he, happy is the child, the boy and girl that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. So, and when I have those questions in my heart, I have to ask Jesus to help me have hope that you have a reason for this. Why did Jesus not rush to Lazarus immediately? He stayed 2 days in Judea. God had a reason. Jesus had a plan. One of my favorite Bible verses is from Jeremiah. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, Sarah. I know the plans. It's plans for you to be good and prosper. That's a promise that God gave to me. Actually doesn't say my name in there, but you can put your name in there. For I know the plans I have for you. God has a plan with the sadness, with the sickness, with this COVID-19, with that plans. My plans to go with Nova and celebrate were canceled. Plans of what is happening in the world right now is very, what is going on? There's a lot of questions. I have questions. I've asked that to Jesus. I said, Lord, what is going on? And I've asked Jesus to help. Lord, please give me hope that you have a plan. I'm going to trust your promise that you have a plan for me. And that plan is going to be good through this COVID-19 thing. So that's what I want you, like you to grasp out of the story for what's going on in the world today. My hope is in the Lord. And say that self to yourself over and over again. Let's dive back into the Bible story. So Jesus waited 2 days before he took his disciples. And two, Jesus, while he was going to go to, I just forgot the name of it, but to Bethany, where Lazarus was, he was going to travel to Bethany. His disciples didn't want to go, because they had to go by Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, there was a bunch of people who did not like Jesus at the time. And they were going to be, they were being mean, and they were saying they might hurt Jesus. And they're like, the disciples like, oh, no, let's not go to Bethany. Let's not go to Bethany right now. Let's wait. But Jesus was not afraid. Jesus was not afraid of what might happen, because Jesus is all powerful. But Jesus traveled with his disciples for 2 days and nothing happened. And when they started to enter the city, Martha heard about it. Martha heard that Jesus was coming in. So Martha ran out of her house and ran down the road to meet Jesus. And do you think she was excited and like, Jesus, you're here. You can come help. That was not her response. Her response was tears. Oh, Lord, if you had been here, my brother surely would not have died. That's from the Bible in John 11, if you have your Bibles. John 11, starting at verse 23, is telling this story, this true story. Lazarus died? Jesus didn't make it in time? This is so sad. But remember, what is our hope? What is our hope? Jesus has all power. Jesus is powerful. He knows what's going on, and he's going to prove that he is the Son of God in this story. And this is what Jesus says. I'm going to read it from the Bible because this is so cool what he's having to say. So much truth in it. So verse 23, Jesus said unto Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection on the last day when we're in heaven. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, Martha? Do you believe that? Martha had a choice. Was she going to believe that? Was she going to believe that Jesus had all the power? Here's another great verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. In this verse in John, he's talking to Martha. He's saying, I am the resurrection. He's giving her a little bit of preview what is going to happen. And we know from the scriptures that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, to take the place of what I have done, and he rose again. His power is this. Here's the I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection means that something was dead and has come back to life. Jesus has all the power. What is Martha going to choose? What are you going to choose? Or have you chosen? Have you chosen to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Let's look back at our Bibles and see what Martha chose. So I'm in John 11, verse 27. She said, Martha said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And verse 28, and when she had said so, Martha went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master, Jesus, is come and calleth for thee. So Mary got up as quick as she can, and she ran out to meet Jesus too. Now, here's an interesting side note with what's happening in Mary and Martha's house. They had a bunch of people over. So when somebody passed away, a bunch of people came in. Friends and family came in. It might have happened if you've had a funeral at your house where everybody comes in and they comfort each other and think about all the wonderful things. So when the Bible says that Martha's told Mary secretly, I think she was trying not to tell all the people in the house that Jesus was out there and he wanted to speak to her. But somehow the people found out. So Mary ran out to Jesus, and all the people that were in the house started following too. Mary came out to Jesus. Oh, look at this picture. Mary came out, and she was crying. Oh, Lord, Lazarus is dead. I wish you had been here. And here's something very interesting that's very touching.
That shows us who Jesus is. Who is your God?
Here he is. He's someone who cares about what you're feeling. He's someone who feels what you're feeling. It says in the Bible that she was crying. She was weeping. And in verse 34, and Jesus said, "Where have you laid him? Where is Lazarus? Where is his tomb? Where is he buried?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And verse 35, it said that Jesus wept. Wept means he cried. And it wasn't just a few tears. If somebody's weeping, they're crying very hard. Now, Jesus, is he still the resurrection and the life? Does he still have the power over death? Yes, he does. But Jesus was feeling for Mary and Martha. He was feeling for their people. They were sad. They were heartbroken. Jesus feels what you're feeling. Do you think Jesus felt when Nova was very disappointed that we couldn't do our special thing for her adoption? Yes, Jesus knew. Does Jesus know what you're sad about right now or what's troubling your heart? He does. Let's get back into the story because it's about to get really good. So Jesus says, come on, let's go. So they all go to the tomb. So they remember that they would bury people. They would cut a hole into a rock, or if there was a cave into the rock wall or face, they would cut and they would bury the body in there, and they put a stone over it. So Jesus came forward and said, roll the stone away. And so the men started obeying. Remember, the group of people had all followed Mary and Martha out there, all their friends and family, and they started rolling the stone away. And Martha got concerned. Oh, Jesus, he's going to stink. Did you know that? Have you drove by maybe a dead animal on the ground and you could smell it? After our bodies die and our spirit leaves our bodies start what we call decomposing. Do you know what that is, my older elementary students? So our bodies start going back into the ground and it smells really, really bad. So Martha was afraid of that. Don't open the door. It's going to smell really bad. This is not a good idea. But what is it? Jesus has all power. He's going to do something great. Oh, go back to the story. Oh, boy. Okay, so we're back to the story. They rolled away this stone. Martha's worried it's going to start stinking. This is really bad. And Jesus says something really cool. And I'm going to look it up. Jesus, of John 11, verse 40. Jesus said unto her, say I not unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, that thou shalt see the glory of God? So he's saying, Martha, do you not believe? You said that you believed in me. Do you want to see the glory of God? And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine being there? You're like, Jesus, he's dead. He can't hear you anymore. And then a miracle happened. A miracle that showed us that Jesus is the Son of God, because no person ever in history has ever been able to do this. Lazarus started walking out of the tomb. Look at their faces. I love this picture. There's some shock. There's some, so happy. And I think all the people were so shocked, they just stood there. Because back in Bible times, they would wind. You can see that the cloth is wrapped around the body. And Lazarus must have been shuffling out, wrapped up all in it, and nobody went to help him. So Jesus had to say, would you go and let him free of his bonds? Go let him free. I think all the people were like, oh, what is going on? And nobody helped them. So they all ran and started pulling off it and hugging him and rejoicing. Jesus had done the miracle above all miracles. He had what we say, conquered death. He said, I have the power over death. I am Jesus. I am the Son of God. Jesus has all power. Whew. Whoa, this is amazing. Who does Jesus say he is? Let's review from all of our stories. So when somebody asks you, why do you believe in God? He can't hear you. Why do you believe in him? Why do you go to church? That you can say a big list of things. And when questions come like this COVID-19 and all these people expressing themselves in not the right way, some of them, that you can know what is going on, Lord, that you can say these things to your heart that gives you hope. Are you ready? Here we go. Dun, 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 dun. The first one of our I ams. I am the good shepherd. Do you remember what this story was? Some of the words that we can use to describe God, who God is. God is caring. God is gentle. God is loving. And God knows what we need. Just like those sheep did not know what they needed. They didn't know if they were going to wander off. They didn't know where to get good food. Jesus would lead them there. Let's look at the next I am. I am the light of the world. What can we learn and know about God through this? My God notices my needs. My God helps me make sense and understand this world of sin and good and bad. My God shows and teaches me the difference between good and evil. My God is the light of the world. And what did Miss Amber teach us about last week? I am the bread of life. My God, from this story, told me he satisfies me. When my stomach is really hungry and I want some food and I eat some food, I'm like, yum, that was good. I am satisfied with my lunch. Jesus is like that. He satisfies us when our soul is questioning and like, I don't know. This is weird. I don't know what's happening. This isn't very nice. He satisfies us. This story also tells us, I know I belong to him. My God makes me feel safe and secure, and my God is good. And then our story from today, the story of his power and that he is the Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. During troubled times, Jesus can teach us something good. Jesus has the power over these troubling times. Jesus feels our sadness and our uncertainty and our troubled hearts. Jesus feels that for us. Jesus is there to encourage us. He encouraged Mary and Martha when they were sad. He cried with them, and then he encouraged them. Jesus, my God, is love. My God has a plan for me, something marvelous and great. He's going to take me through the sad times. He's going to take me through the times of questions of like, what? He has a plan, and I can hope in that. Who does Jesus say he is? Can you read it or say it with me? I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. And I am the resurrection and the life. To finish off today, can we praise Jesus for all these wonderful things that he tells us about him? He's not a God of mystery, like, who is your God? Or our God tells us exactly who he is and how we can hope in him through these hard times. I would love to sing God is so good. Do you guys know that? Let's sing with our voices. We can use our songs to praise him. We can use our songs to tell stories. But today, let's praise him for who he is. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Can we pray? Hey, Lord, thank you for these stories. Thank you for being a God who lets us know that we can trust in you. You let us know by all of these different things, all these different characteristics about you, all these ways that we can know who you are. I pray, Lord, through these uncertain times that you help the boys and girls to have hope in you, to know that you have a plan and to cling on to that promise that I know the plans for you. You have a plan for each of them. You have a plan for me, and you have a plan for what's going on in the world, Lord. Please give us that hope. Let us feel your security in our lives. And Lord, thank you for being a good God who loves us. In your name, amen.